You have your outline there. If you'll remember last Wednesday night, we went over the very first principle. We're speaking about what we've been doing in a series called Courage to Conquer. Courage to conquer a lot of things that are happening or going on in our life. How do we approach them? How do we deal with them? How do we respond? What is our response? And tonight, once again, we're going to look at six principles that we can find success in our lives as a Christian if we choose to follow some biblical guidelines. Last week, we looked, first of all, at the principle of divine perspective. Moses had died. God would use Joshua to lead the children of Israel. And one of the important things was the fact that oftentimes when you move into a different venue of life, or you move into a different season of your life, or you move into a different area of your life in leadership, oftentimes there can be doubt, there can be fear, there can be trepidation of wondering, you know, will God be with me? What is the divine perspective here? And the principle of divine perspective we talked about was looking at the past, what God has done in the past. And the same God who is the God of the past is the same God who's the God on the mountain. He's the same God as the God in the valley. He's the same God as the God of the daytime. He's the same God as God in the nighttime. And divine perspective to look back. Joshua could look back and remember all the wonderful things that God had done for the nation of Israel, that God had blessed them, God had protected them, God had used Moses to deliver them out of the Egyptian bondage after 450 years that they labored as taskmasters. And then to watch as they came up to the Red Sea after Pharaoh had decided differently than what he had first decided after God sent the 10 plagues. Pharaoh was convinced to let God's people go. But then after he let the people go, and as Moses led them to the Red Sea, they looked back, and Pharaoh had reneged on his promise there and decided that he had let go of a great amount of people to do the labor pool for the Egyptians. And so he sends his army thundering over the mountains to try to retake and recapture the Israelites. They stand there on the bank of the river, or this Red Sea. And while they were fearful, where their courage seemed to dissipate and to leave them, Moses said, "Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord." Of course, you know the story. The Red Sea parts. Moses stuck out the rod there. The Red Sea parted. They walked over on dry ground. And then Pharaoh's army comes in, and God recedes the waters, and Pharaoh's army is drowned in that experience. And then as they get to a place called Kadesh Barnea, remember God had sent 12 spies, Moses had, throughout the land, the promised land that God said, "It's your land, I'm giving it to you. But in order for you to possess it, there are some things you're going to have to do." And that's true in your life, and that's true in my life. Let me tell you, God says there are lost people all over the world tonight, but he left us with a great commission. It's our job to go into the world and preach the gospel. And just as the children of Israel were entering into a new area, a new arena of life, and as they were getting ready to go in, if you'll remember, there were 12 spies that went to spy out the land. They came back and they said to Moses, "There are giants out there in the land. We are not able to take it." 10 of those spies said, "We can't do it." Fear gripped their hearts. It overtook them. Courage was replaced with fear and with doubt. But Joshua and Caleb were the two that were in the minority of the 12. And they came back and they said, "We are well able to take it." Moses would die. No wonder God would use Joshua to lead the nation of Israel. He reassured him. He reaffirmed him to remember that as he was with Moses, he would be with him as well. As long as his leadership followed the biblical principles of God's ordinances and the way God wanted him to lead, God would take care of him as he had Moses. You will realize that the people of Israel, when they, some of them began to murmur and complain. Actually, it was that older generation. They began to murmur and complain against Moses and against Aaron. And, you know, God judged them for their complaints against his leadership. And those, that generation of people, all of the nation of Israel, the good ones as well as the ones that were the complainers, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. It would be there God would feed them. He would feed them with quail. He would feed them with manna from heaven. And he would also quench their thirst with water that they had. But after that older generation that complained died off, a younger generation then would be led out of the wilderness and into the promised land. There would be many rogue nations out there. There would be enemy nations that would come against them. You know, God didn't say life would be easy, did he? God didn't tell us that life would be a party and that life would be filled with all kinds of ease. And, you know, that's what we assume. Once we become a Christian, we just assume that everything should go well for me. And when things don't go well for us, then that's when we begin to draw back. That's when we begin to ask God, and we question God, and we wonder, God, why would you let this come into my life? Why would you allow this to happen in my life? But I think the more that we become students of the Bible, the more we meditate on the Word of God and the precepts of God, the more you and I understand that Jesus himself said, in this world you're going to have trials and tribulations. But he said, be not overcome, for I've overcome the world with good. And so there's the principle that you and I can learn tonight from the life of Moses as well as Joshua. There's the principle of divine perspective. When we're facing the future, what should we do when troubles come? Even when troubles don't come, we should reflect upon the God who performed the miracles of yesterday is still the God today. God is immutable. That is one of his characteristics. It's one of his attributes. That word immutable or immutability means God does not change. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what can you and I do in our lives as a Christian? Number one, we can get a divine perspective on the God who loved us, that knew us before the foundation of the world, who had everything recorded in his book about us and our lives, that we can depend on him to know that he will walk through the valleys with us in life. Let me tell you, we may not be delivered from the valleys, but he will walk with us through those times in life. Secondly, on your outline for tonight, let's look at the principle of divine purpose. The principle of divine purpose. Joshua had a divine task. Can you only imagine what it would have been like for him to... He couldn't replace Moses by any stretch of the imagination. When Moses died, according to the Bible, the children of Israel wept. They wept profusely for 30 days over his death. He's revered as one of the greatest of the Jewish people. And so Moses was a great, awesome leader. Not perfect, but a great leader. And so if you can only imagine, as Joshua stood there on the bank of entering the Canaan land, the new land, the promised land, if you can only imagine, he had to realize there was a divine purpose in his living. Now tonight, every one of us here, every one of us have a divine purpose. If we did not, we would never have been birthed. We would never have been conceived. And you see, Joshua had to look at his divine purpose. He had to stay focused because his purpose was to go in and settle the promised land that God had promised to Abraham and to all of his descendants. And there would be many distractions Joshua is going to encounter along the way. There are a lot of distractions tonight in our lives. I want you to think about right now, this very instant. Some of you are probably, if we're all honest, we're really focused on something else that's going on in our life. Because the devil is one of the greatest distractors of all time. He will distract you. He will keep you from your divine purpose, and he will keep your focus out of focus if we are not allowing the Holy Spirit that lives within our heart to enable us to go out and find what God wants us to do. There would be many distractions, but Joshua never forgot his purpose. He never forgot that God appointed him as the leader of Israel. The land was the gift that God would give to the nation, but they still had to appropriate it. They had to walk over all the land. They had to claim it for their own. It was theirs, but they had to reach out and take it. That's like God's wonderful gift of grace. God died on the cross. He shed his blood through his son, Jesus Christ, for the propitiation or for the satisfaction of our sins. Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended back into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit for every person who believes in him. But you see, it's a gift. He doesn't force that on anyone. He's not willing that anyone in the world perishes, but that all should come to repentance. But God does not force that gift on us. If we want that gift, we have to reach out and we have to take it. We have to receive it. The nation of Israel, Joshua, their divine purpose was to reach out and take that land. There's something very liberating and invigorating about knowing what you're supposed to do. When you don't know what you're supposed to do, life sometimes gets a little bit foggy, doesn't it? Life gets a little bit frustrating, doesn't it? I think that many times it's because we stay so focused on the problems we encounter, the issue that's going on in our life. We become so self-focused that we are not divinely focused on the purpose for which God called us to do. When Jesus ascended back on high, what was the purpose he left with us? The Great Commission. The Great Commission. The Great Commission of the evangelizing. We're going to look at that Sunday night. Some soul for thee. I want you to know that is so important, because that is one of the divine purposes for you and for me tonight, is to go out and to share Christ wherever that we are. And so the purpose gives direction, and it gave energy not only to Joshua's life and the children of Israel's life, but it gives meaning to mine and yours. There's this principle of divine purpose tonight. Do you know what your divine purpose is? Are you fulfilling that divine purpose in your life? Are you using that divine purpose to help build God's kingdom here while we're on this earth? When Max Lucado said it's what we do in the here and the now that determines the then and the there, I'm grateful to know that someday when Jesus comes again and he sets foot there in the Holy Land, and that will split apart, be one of the greatest of the earthquakes. When Jesus sets foot, let me tell you, he'll set up his earthly kingdom upon this earth where you and I will rule and will reign with him. I can't even begin to imagine that. Can you tonight? I can't even begin to fathom. God, what will this all be like? We have scant information that is in the Bible, but you and I cannot even begin to comprehend all that God has planned for those of us who will inherit salvation. And I don't know about you, but it gives me pause. It gives me pause to be grateful, to be thankful, to know that one of these days, all eternity will be upon this earth. Now, we know that when a person dies, their spirit goes immediately to God who gave it into the presence of the Lord. For those that have received Christ, we know that Jesus is going to take his church out of the world someday, or I believe that's what the Bible teaches, and that we'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb while 7 years of tribulation is going on upon this earth. But at the end of that 7 years of tribulation, the Bible says, John, through the vision that he was given by God, John said, and I, John, saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. I don't know about you, but I've always been a visual learner. I think visually. You know, if I find something to laugh about, which I often do, I see it visually. And to think that holy city, as the old song says, that's built four square. Can you only imagine that city coming down from God out of heaven upon this earth one of these days? And then whenever you think there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and what is all of that going to consist of? You see, our divine purpose tonight, my divine purpose, your divine purpose, is to live for Jesus and to tell people about Jesus and to be Christ-like in our lives so that we can point others to Christ. He gave the Great Commission to go into the world and to baptize people and teach people and to make an impact in our world. That is one of our divine purposes in this life. Another one of our divine purposes in this life is the Great Commandment. Not only the Great Commission to fulfill it, but through the Great Commandment to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. It's interesting that he took the Ten Commandments and he summarized them in two. And to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. The principle tonight of divine purpose. Don't get defocused in a world that is filled with deception, in a world that is filled with distraction. You and I need to stay focused. How do we do that? Through the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. Let me tell you, the more we know about the Word of God and the more we allow the God of the Word to get into our lives, the more we stay focused, the more we are divinely purposed to do what God has called us to do. And then notice tonight the principle, number three, the principle of persuasion. Notice in verse 6 on your scripture. Notice what God says to Joshua. Be strong. Be strong. Has anyone ever said to you, be strong? Be strong. I remember in 1958. I remember it was in November. My grandfather on my mother's side died. I was 7 years old. And I can remember that day as if it were yesterday, that one of her brothers from Kentucky looked at my grandmother, and her nickname from all of her five brothers was Peg. And I remember one of them said, Peg, be strong, keep your chin up. I was a seven-year-old kid. I don't know why that impressed me. I never forgot that. God said to Joshua, be strong. But notice, not only be strong, he said, and of good courage. And of good courage. Notice what he says there. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance. Notice, let me get to my scripture over here. That you shall divide for an inheritance. And then he goes on and he says in the rest of that scripture, somebody read it while I'm trying to find it. Land which I swore to their fathers to give them. You see, one of the things that he was to do was to give them, or he would help divide up the land that God was going to give them. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded you? Once again, God says to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, can you only imagine that that is all that Joshua needed? For God to say, be strong, be of good courage. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. You and I have that promise tonight, that God is with us wherever we go. The psalmist said, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that was the Old Testament Hebrew word for the realm of the dead. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. He said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. Aren't you grateful that God is with us? Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. That wherever we go, He's with us. That's why our body is the temple where the Holy Spirit of God dwells. That's why we ought to be careful what we do to this body, because it's the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. And so the third principle tonight, and I'm going to close with this one, and we'll pick up the next three next week. It's the principle of divine persuasion. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Let me tell you, that's the heart of God's motivational message to Joshua. Now, there have been a lot of motivational speeches down through the years that people have made, and some of these former presidents, they go out and they get $500,000, some of them, for a speech for one night, 30, 45 minutes. Can you imagine that? I tell you, God gave the greatest motivational speech of all time here when he gave this to Joshua. The word strong there, what does it mean? It means to be resolute. It means to not be easily swayed by the efforts of other people. It means the word courageous means to be daring. There's an element there of risk taking. Are you a risk taker tonight? Or do you just live in your comfort zone, hovered away there because of fear and doubt? You see, God wanted Joshua to understand, just as he had been with Moses, he sends his wonderful promises here to Joshua as well. Let me tell you, Joshua was in the minority when he came back and said, we are well able to take the land. Let me tell you, the majority's not always right, folks. It was the majority that said, crucify Christ and give us Barabbas. You see, the majority's not always right. Joshua and Caleb were 2 out of 12. They said, we're well able. We're focused on the divine purpose. We have a divine perspective. We have a divine persuasion. We know that God is able. And what God has promised, God will perform. And God will give us, God will enable us as long as we're focused on Him. And church, let me say this tonight. As long as you and I are focused on the main thing, God, His Word, let me tell you, God will bless us. When we get out of focus, when we get out of His divine path for our lives, for the church's life, then you and I can rest assured that we are going to be gravely in trouble. I love to read these verses about Joshua. Well, let me tell you, when you're facing a challenge in life, go back to this passage in the book of Joshua and remember that the same God that said to Joshua, that said to Moses, be strong, be of good courage, be not afraid, I'm with you. Let me tell you, he's the same God today as he was then, as he will be tomorrow. And there's absolutely nothing in our pathway that will come that doesn't first sift through his hands. And if it sifts through his hands, you and I can be confident of the fact that he will enable us through his power, through the Holy Spirit, to be able to deal with the challenges and the changes that come in our lives. The key is our divine perspective. The key is our divine purpose. The key to successful Christian living is our divine persuasion, the promise of Almighty God. Amen? Amen. Well, it looks to me like some of you need to get home and go to bed as quick as you can. All right? God bless you for being here. Would you stand as we pray together?